So we have spent this summer going through the life of Jacob, not touching every single moment, but trying to get a lot of them in and just looking at his story, because I think we can really identify with Jacob and some of the struggles and things that he went through. And this was Jacob's, I think, his big struggle. How do I trust the story that God is writing in my life? How do we do that? How do we trust the story that God is writing in our life? It's really challenging. And if we think about when Jacob lived, he had no scripture. He had nothing. He's walking with God, trying to figure this out. He starts off in life figuring that if he needs something, if he wants something, if he even thinks that God is going to give him something, I need to take that. I need to find ways to deceive and trick and get my way into getting what I want. So he deceives his brother out of the birthright, ultimately goes in and deceives and gets the blessing, and then has to leave abruptly, and that causes all sorts of confusion with what's going to happen next in his story. He meets who he wants to be his future wife, only to get tricked and conned into that mess that happens in Laban's house. He goes through so many different parts of his story. He decides at one point, because of what was done to him, he's going to get revenge. He realizes that's probably not a good option either. He has to reunite with his brother Esau, not sure what's going to happen there, but there's a wonderful reconciling moment that takes place. And then last week we saw the tragedy that took place in his life, losing his wife. She dies giving birth to their child Benjamin, and what he went through and what he experienced just in that moment. He went through all sorts of things that we can all sit here this morning or watching online. We can relate to that. And yet he's trying to figure out, how do I trust the story in the midst of it? So I'd like to just kind of wrap up a little bit this morning. There's probably a lot more we could say about Jacob. There's many more stories we could kind of touch on and think about and look at and say, how did he work in this area? How did he struggle with this balance of, how do I trust God? But here's what's happening in my life. And he struggles in those areas. But one of the things that's hard is, did he actually learn? Right? That's our question. Did he actually learn to trust the story? Well, here's also our problem with the Jacob story. Okay? The story all of a sudden takes an abrupt switch, and it goes all the way to Egypt, and it follows his son, Joseph. And until Jacob himself travels to Egypt, and then we're kind of given a picture of him meeting Pharaoh, and ultimately the final scene that we'll look at, a little snippet out of the final scene of his life this morning. Did he actually learn? I don't know. We're missing a whole bunch of time in Jacob's life where it switches, and it says, we need to talk about Joseph and some of the things that he went through and some of the things that he experienced. And you have to wonder, when he starts speaking to his sons, which we're going to look at that this morning a little bit, is this proof that he's learning to trust the story that God is writing? Because that's where we all are. That's where we live. We live in the midst of trying to figure out every day, are we going to trust the story God is writing? Or we got to figure out how to manipulate, trick, deceive our way through getting what we think we want out of life. Or are we willing to come to God and say, I trust you in the story you're writing. I'm going to make you Lord. You are commander, boss, master of my life. And I'm just going to submit life to you. Are we going to do that and just trust that God is going to put everything together? So we're going to be in Genesis 49. You can follow along on the screen. You can follow along if you're watching online, right on the bottom of your screen there. Open your Bibles. You can read along as well. I want to read you the first verse so just know what's going on in this chapter. Because this chapter is all about him kind of talking to his sons, prophesying over them and blessing them and their lives. So this is what it tells us about it. Jacob called for his sons and said, gather together so I can tell you what will happen to you in future days. And then he begins to go on. Now, most people, they get to chapter 49 of Genesis, and there's like one spot we want to stick on. And that is the spot of Judah. Because it's the first place where there's this kind of messianic prediction that out of the tribe of Judah will come one who will be the Messiah. That is who? That is Jesus. So a lot of people would go right to that part and look at that and say, oh, he sees that coming. He sees that God's got this redemptive plan and it's starting through him. And if you just looked at that part, you say, boy, maybe Jacob's starting to understand. I want to take you to where he speaks to his son Joseph. And it's a little cryptic and it's a little weird because it uses a lot of imagery that perhaps we would understand this morning just a little bit. Just a part of that I want to talk about this morning because I think it helps us to understand what he ultimately had to learn. What he ultimately had to learn in his life if he was going to trust the story that God was writing. So here we go. Joseph is a fruitful bough near a spring whose branches climb over the wall. The archers, and you're like, what? What archers, okay? Well, you see how this plays out. The archers will attack him. They will shoot at him and oppose him. Anybody's like, wait a minute, I've read the story of Joseph. I don't remember people shooting him with bows and arrows. What's going on? It's all symmetry. It's all language of symbolism that he wants to use. Because now he's going to say, what is Joseph going to do? But his bow will remain steady and his hands will be skillful because of the hands of the powerful one of Jacob. In other words, you know what Jacob's saying? Joseph has done a better job at me than learning to trust the story and all that he was going through. You know what Jacob realized at the end when he goes back to Egypt and he meets his son again? Oh, Joseph might have gotten it. He didn't get everything perfect, but he might have got it. He's the one who understands the hands of the powerful one of Jacob because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of the God of your father who will help you, because of the sovereign God who will bless you. Now, right, that was just all clear. We just know exactly what he's talking about and what he means, right? So why such a cryptic message? We've just been asking questions through this. And one of them you should ask is, why such a cryptic message? Because when we understand what he's telling Joseph, we're like, why need to say that? Okay, why need to say that? Because he's using symbolism and he's using a different way to tell the story of what happens. And I want you to see that because it's really important that he's seeing in Joseph that Joseph isn't making some of the same mistakes he did. He's backing off. He's learning to trust the story that God is writing. Does Jacob know what has happened to Joseph? This is like a huge question if you look it up. People don't know. Do they know what happened to him? Does he know what the brothers did? Okay, because the brothers went back to Jacob and just said, hey, Dad, here's the coat full of blood. I don't know. We don't know what happened to him, okay? And Joseph never knows any of that happens, that his brothers did that. But does he know what really happened? Is he ever told the whole story of what the brothers did? I don't know. I don't know. I think he does based on what he is telling to Joseph here at the very end. What does he want his sons to know before he dies? He wants them to know some things. He wants to bless them. He wants to talk into their life. He wants to talk about what God wants to do in and through them. In other words, you know what he wants to do there in their lives? Hey, guys, made a lot of mistakes. I want you to trust the story that God is writing. I want you to trust the story because I didn't trust it most of the time. And I tried to manipulate and work my way through things. And I thought because, boy, I had this gift just to manipulate people and to get what I want, that I should just use that instead of trusting that God has a plan and I can trust that plan. And it's a good plan. And he wants good things for me. Okay? God wants good things for me. It's not that I just say, okay, God, whatever you want. And then he sends me to Africa. Okay? It doesn't work that way. God wants some good things for me, has great things in store for me if I will simply just trust the story. So let's dive into this morning, okay? First thing I want you to know, doesn't matter how you start, it matters how you finish. Doesn't matter how you start, matters how you finish. And we all knew this. We all were told this at an early age because if you ever read the story, The Tortoise and the Hare, okay, you know all about this. Doesn't matter how you start, okay? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Oh, he wins. Everybody put the safe money on the hare, okay? Because he's going to win. And he's going to win every time. He's going to lap the tortoise, okay? But it doesn't matter how you start. It matters how you finish. And some people start really well. And they start and they're excited. And God's going to work in my life. And they start down that path. And then things happen. Because life happens. And life in a broken, fallen world, and I tell you this all the time, is really hard. And it's really difficult. And if you don't lean into God in those moments, you will walk away. You will turn away. And it won't matter how you started. It won't matter that you started doing what God wanted you were serving, you were helping, you were doing all these different things, and then it happens. Whatever that event was, you know what that event is. It happened. And that just totally derailed you. And you got so off track, okay? And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how you start. Doesn't matter what happens in your story. It matters how you finish. We all want to finish well. We all want to finish well. That should be a huge desire of your heart, that you want to finish well. You want to finish well for the sake of your marriage, for the sake of your family, for the sake of your kids, your grandkids. You want to finish well, that you have an honorable testimony in your life, that people look at you and say, wow, there's someone to the very end, trusted God, leaned into the story. Even though they had all sorts of difficult things happen to them, they leaned in, they trust the story, and they just depended on God for their entire life. There were bumps, there were bruises. They got off at times, okay? But in the end, they finished well. So that'd be my first question, okay? And some of you are like, and I want to talk about finishing well, okay? I just want to talk about now. You know, I want to think about that, okay? But for a moment, could you go there? How are you doing right now? If today was the last day, would you have finished well? Would you finish well? Would your kids say you had finished well? Would your grandkids, if you have them, would they say you finished well? Would your spouse say that you finished well? Or would they say, he struggled, he got off, he left, he quit, he got out? Because I'm telling you, it is just so tempting all the time. Because life is hard, it's difficult, it's challenging to trust the story all the way to the end. And I want you to know, you can read Jacob's story and be like, oh, how could he do that? How could he trick his brother? And how could he take revenge? Or you can say, look what God did in his life throughout this whole journey. He learned how to trust the story, and he ended well. He finished well. I mean, just look at the life of Paul. What would we say about him? Who? Well, he had a rough start. He had a rough period of time where he just decided that anybody who followed this person named Jesus was trouble. They should be thrown in jail or worse. And that was his life mission, okay? He was Saul. He was Saul the persecutor, Saul the arrester, Saul the guy going to blow up churches and throw people in jail. That's who he was. And then he meets Jesus. And we don't think about that, even though he talks about his story over and over again, Paul did. But he did what? He finished well, and he talked about it to Timothy, okay? I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. And he said, I finished well. And Timothy, it doesn't matter. Yeah, there was that whole period in my life, but I finished well. So how are you doing now? And are you going to finish well? Number two, Jacob saw so much of his own story in the story of his sons. That's the way it goes, doesn't it? For all the parents watching, parents in the room, okay? We tend to see the things we don't like about ourselves, and they show up in our kids, and then we really don't like them. Oh, man, I can't believe I taught them that, okay? I can't believe they got that from me. Sometimes we see those traits, and we're like, okay? So he saw so much of his story. He saw the good. He saw the bad. We're recorded in Genesis some things that his brothers did, Joseph's brothers did, that weren't great, weren't wonderful, okay? Some of them were taking revenge. Some of them, you know, got rid of Joseph because he was a problem. So many different things about this story. And I think he saw so much of that get played out that at the end, he wants to speak to them. And he wants them to understand some things about the story. And these are the three things, okay? If you remember anything about Jacob, please remember these three things that I want to share with you this morning here on the last part of this story. That trusting the story meant that Jacob realized three things. The first one is we choose God's gift of redemption over regret. We choose. This is a choice. This is a choice. Can you sit around talking about, oh my goodness. I mean, Jacob could have done that. Oh, I wish I never cheated my brother out of that. Okay? Especially when he has to meet him. I wish all these years didn't go by. I wish. And then he saw what God did with his brother and that whole redemption story that is so amazing. Okay? We can choose regret or we can choose redemption. And God chooses redemption. And it's a gift to us to take what we so often mess up in a broken, fallen world, when we choose to sin, when we choose to vandalize what God's standard is, and we go against it, that God has a way of redeeming the story, of redeeming those moments, of redemption, of taking what is bad and redeeming it and turning it into something good. And God has a way of doing this over and over again. And I think Jacob saw that at the end, that God redeemed so much of his story, that God did so much in this idea of redemption. But if we're going to choose redemption over regrets, and that God's going to redeem things, then we also got to choose the gift of reconciliation over revenge. So, there's a part in this story about the archer. Notice I have this one because if I accidentally shoot it, I don't want to hurt anybody. Or a wall. That would be really bad, okay? So, remember it says that the archers attacked Joseph. Now, who is that? Well, if you go back to the story, it's the story of his brothers. When his brothers take him, right, and, you know, strip his coat off, throw him in a pit because they're just tired of him, okay? They're tired of him. They're tired of what he's going to do. They're just tired, okay? They're just tired of him. And he's sold off into Egypt. They take his coat, right? They kill an animal. They put blood on it. And then they go back and say, we're sorry, okay? So he was attacked. He was opposed, and it cost him. He's sent off into Egypt, okay? But you remember what it said about Joseph, that he held the bow, and the picture is that he held the bow like this. And he can't do this for very long, or there it goes, okay? I'm just going to warn you, okay? Can't do this for very long, or there it goes. And he did this. Now, I want you to understand what this means in the story, because you should read this part of the story about Joseph, okay? Because Joseph didn't, when his brothers show up, go, oh, my brothers are here, this is awesome, and do what Esau did to Jacob. Remember what Esau did to Jacob? He runs to him, he hugs him, he kisses him, oh, whatever we can do, we are back together. That's not what Joseph did. You can read the whole story. Basically, what he did, ready, aim, yeah, I'm the Pharaoh. I'm second in command to Pharaoh, and I could let it go. And I could throw you guys in prison, and I could do so much to you. And Jacob's recognizing that Joseph didn't take revenge when he could have. Now, he got close. You need to know he got close. And it alludes to that Jacob saying, Joseph, thank you for being strong enough not to let go and just fire at them. Thank you for not letting go. Now, how many of us are tempted to let go? And we got the whole plan. The plan's the arrow, okay? And how we're going to get revenge. And then, oh, we're waiting for the right moment. We're going to get back at them. Oh, you don't know what was done to us. And we pull back. And what if that point is the point where God's saying, can you give it up? Can you give it up? Can you lay it down? Can you choose the gift of reconciliation over the gift of revenge? Because that's what Jacob is saying Joseph did. Because remember, Jacob took revenge on his uncle for what happened to him. But when he saw his brother Esau, he saw something else happen. He saw someone in his brother who could have taken revenge throw his arms around him. And they were reconciled. And what Jacob saw was, wow, that's a way better option than what I did. That's way better. So Joseph, thank you. I know it was hard. I know you probably wanted to get them back. I bet you'd like to say, okay, guys, guess what we're going to do? We're going to strip your clothes. We're going to find a pit in the ground. We're going to throw you in there, okay? We're going to see how you like it. Then we're going to sell you into slavery. See, he had it back. He had the plan. And you can read along that he did some things because it was tempting to get back. And he ultimately chooses, what if we reconciled? And even after Jacob dies, they come back to him and like, do you know, Dad said you should forgive us. We're really, really sorry we did that to you. Because they just think, oh, you're just waiting for him to die. As soon as he dies and we have his funeral, you're coming after us. And that's when he says the phrase, we know Joseph the best for. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. And he only got to say that phrase because even though he was really tempted, he dropped the plan for revenge. And he chose reconciliation over revenge. He chose to be back with his brothers instead of getting back at his brothers. And perhaps you're in that choice right now. This is one of the hardest things about trusting the story, is when people do us wrong, oh, we'd love to get back at them. We'd love to get revenge. We love to take it up a little bit. What if we chose the gift of reconciliation instead? And even though, right, we've got the plan, it's all ready to go, we choose to drop it instead and choose a different way. We choose dependence on God instead of independence. I can do it all myself. I don't need anybody else. Because that's a lot of time how Jacob operated his life. I don't need anybody else. I can figure this out. I can figure this out. I can do this on my own. Okay. Normally what we do is we pray after the event. Okay. We're already in the midst of it and said, oh, probably should have prayed about this. Hey, God, can you bless this? Can you help me with this? After we're in the midst of it. What if we prayed before that? What if we just allowed ourselves to be dependent on God? Saying, I'm going to trust the story that you're writing. Instead of thinking, I know the best way. I know the best thing to do. I'm going to go out and do it. I'm going to go out and conquer. What if I just admitted I'm going to be dependent upon God? That God's going to provide and God's going to work and God's going to move and God's got a plan in this whole story. See, that's what Jacob didn't learn early on. And that's why when his mother told him that, you know what, that it's going to go through you, and one day everybody's going to say, it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and you, Jacob, not your brother. Okay, maybe his mom told him that. He kept thinking, there's only one way to make that happen, my way. What if we surrendered our way, my way, to God's way, and see what happens in the end of it all? And see what he might do if we choose to lay down our independence, my way mentality, for I'm going to do things God's way and the way God wants them done. Question I've asked you every single week. Are you trusting the story God is writing? Because that's hard. I admit that's hard. This is not supposed to be easy, okay? Not just supposed to be easy. Oh, anybody can do this. Nope. It's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging, and that's okay. We're going to learn together how to trust the story. We're going to encourage one another to trust the story. And you know what I would urge you to do? If you're having problems with trusting the story, send someone a new text. Text Kim, our prayer team leader. Say, Kim, I'm having problems trusting the story right now. Okay? That's all you got to say. That's all you got to say. Because we all do. What if we just started praying for each other and encouraging one another to trust the story and admit, yeah, I'm having problems today. Okay, let's pray for you. Let's encourage you. Come on, God's got a great plan. God's going to work in the middle of this. Okay, we're going to trust him to do that. And what if we started doing that and started to trust the story that God is writing and help one another learn how to trust that story? That's ultimately what I want to say to you at the end of this morning. That you would do that, and you would encourage one another, and that you would learn that God is a great and awesome and a good God who has great plans for us, and he's worthy of us trusting the plan that he has for our lives. Let's pray together. Our prayer team will be up here this morning. You can pray with them. They would love to pray with you over that, and we'll close with a final worship song this morning. Heavenly Father, would you help us? I know Jacob's story is just so often just like ours. We can relate to him because we've been there. And we struggle to trust that story. This week, we struggled trusting that story. This week, we struggled knowing, is there enough? Do I have enough? Has God given me enough? Do I got to figure out my own ways? This week, we considered taking revenge. I pray we would choose your way, the way of reconciliation. Father, I pray for all of those experiencing regrets and just reliving moments that you would love to redeem. And then, Father, I would pray, we would understand that the best path in life is a path with you, dependent upon you, refusing to do it my way, rather doing it your way. I pray we'd commit to this morning. We would rest in this morning, and that you would work in a great and awesome way in and through our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.